Now we're going to hear some testimonies, but remember, who did it?
Jesus!
Okay, Jill, you want to come up?
So I get the privilege of doing the first testimony. So I'm going to go back 4 years to the first retreat that we had when we were up in the little tiny lodge up there. And I've been a Christian since I was 8, was raised in a Christian home, very, very evangelical, but very legalistic, very religious. And going through the fire tunnel, Holly had a prophetic word for me. And she said, Jill, all of your questions are coming from your head. God wants your heart. She said, you have had to work, because I'm a single woman, we got to do everything. We don't have somebody to go, hey, would you mind taking care of that? Otherwise, it's not getting done. And she said, you've always had to be intellectual. But God wants your heart. And so I came home, and I'm like, okay, I'm going to get into my heart. I'm going to do this. I got it. I can get into my heart. And so I got into another works mentality of trying to get into my heart. Yeah, exactly. So then, that was 4 years ago. Then fast forward a couple years. I started, I'm from Denver. I joined the Colorado School of Kingdom Ministry. And it's a 2-year program, just wrapped it up about, you know, walking in the giftings, prophetic words of knowledge, healing, all that kind of stuff. It was amazing. And the director of the school became my mentor. And an amazing, incredible woman of God. And she would sit with me and she would talk about, you know, she used to be a high school teacher. I'm a current high school social studies teacher. And she was talking all about, you know, Mary and Martha. And, of course, I've read that story 1,000 times, and I am absolutely the Martha. And she said, Jill, if you never do anything else for God, he loves you just where you were. Enjoy the journey. Enjoy the process. And so what do? I leave that, and I'm like, okay, I'm going to enjoy the journey. No kidding. I even bought a T-shirt. I wore it yesterday, and it says, find joy in the journey. I'm going to enjoy the journey. Yes, I got this. I'm going to enjoy the journey. So in the School of Kingdom Ministry, there are some people that were profoundly gifted. There was one guy, he'd been a Christian for 6 months and he was doing deliverance on demons. You know, there was another guy who had been a Christian 3 months and he heard from God like Moses. And I was like, Lord, that's what I want. And so I'm going to be that. I'm going to do that. I'm striving. And I was like, Lord, that's what I want. I was fighting, I was working. I was like, that's what I want. Of course, shame came on because I wasn't that. I wasn't walking in those things yet. I'm like, I've been a Christian since I was 8. What gives, Lord? So I kept fighting and I kept striving, I kept working. And I was like, all right, I got this. I'm going to find joy in the journey. Then last year, I was standing right out over here, just worshiping, just talking to the Lord, and the Lord gave me a vision. And the vision was Jesus and I coloring. I was like, Lord, what is that? He said, Jill, that's childlike intimacy. So I bought a coloring book. And a kid's coloring book. And I just sometimes sit and color with Jesus. And then last year also, Andrew gave me a word in the time up here. It was an amazing word. Thank God. Praise you, Jesus, for technology that we get to record it. And that word has sustained me for more than a year. And he said, I've probably listened to it 100 times. And he said, Jill, God is saying you haven't missed a thing. You haven't missed a thing. He said, Jill, he said, you've been crying out to God. But God, I just had a birthday. But God, and Andrew just kept saying over and over, Jill, you haven't missed a thing. So then fast forward to to my School of Kingdom Ministry, and we're watching a sermon by Banning Leipzig, or I forgot the guy's name. He's out of Bethel and started Jesus Culture. And he was teaching from about the... they were building the wall. Very obscure verse. And he said, repair the wall that's right in front of you. He said, I mean, just this very odd verse. He's preached an entire sermon. He said, whatever God puts in front of you, do that, embrace that. Do what God puts right in front of you. And I was like, okay, I can do that. Again, head mentality, trying to get into my heart. What does intimacy look like? I literally could not tell you to a certain extent what intimacy with God is. I've never truly encountered it because it was all up here. It was legalism. It was religion. And I believe that, you know, Holly's word of God wants your heart was literally like taking a sledgehammer and at least smashing a massive hole into it so that over the last 4 years that the Lord has been able to do a work. So Banning was talking in this sermon about built and they repaired the wall right in front of them. He said, do that, embrace that, whatever God's given you right in front of you. And then he told the story that he got to a point where he had a decision to make. Lord, do I go right or do I go left? And he kept crying out to God, Lord, do I go right? Do I go left? And he heard the Lord say, Banning, you think that if you go left when I wanted you to go right, that that's going to screw up your entire life. He said, Banning, you're not that big. And he said, I am the God of the universe. He said, if you humble yourself, I will get you where I want to get you, when I want to get you there, when you humble yourself. It was on a Zoom call, we were watching it, and I was sobbing, and I had to turn off the camera because I was crying so hard. Because what that did for me was it connected the dots of your word of knowledge to Narelle telling me, enjoy the journey. To Andrew's word of saying, Jill, you haven't missed a thing. To me getting to the point where I said, I haven't missed my destiny. I haven't missed my husband, my marriage that God's got coming. I haven't missed the things that God's wanted. And that sermon connected the dots for me. So I had these four pieces, but they didn't make sense to a certain extent until I heard him say, Jill, you're not that big. I will get you where I want to get you, when I want to get you there. And it reminded me when I had to process, I had to write a paper at the end of CSKM to talk about our three big takeaways. And my big takeaway is I'm a verbal processor. And as I processed it, I realized there was such shame because wasn't walking in all the giftings that I wanted. I hadn't hit my destiny yet. I hadn't done all the things that I wanted to do. And what I realized was that I hadn't done those things, that I can't strive to get those things. If I rest in the Lord, He's going to get me there. And I haven't missed a thing. And it's just a matter of resting with the Lord. And as I processed it, I'm like, Lord, I know that you're going to get me where you want to get me, when you want to get me there, in your timing, in your position. And then it fast forwards to last night. And Lori's message of the great exchange. I am an A-type personality. I will get things done. I will get them done before everybody else. Every I will be dotted, every T will be crossed. And last night I said, Lord, I exchange my performance for your joy. Amen. And I'm like, Lord, I want to be excellent in what I do. God's not calling us to perfection. He's calling us to excellence. And so last night I said, Lord, I literally have felt that I couldn't enjoy the joy and the journey. Here was the sort of the kicker. Because I thought I was behind. And I couldn't enjoy the journey because I had to get caught up because I was behind. And I couldn't enjoy the journey. I literally, even when I worship, I couldn't even close my eyes all the way because I was afraid I was going to miss something. And I finally have gotten to the point where I can literally close my eyes and just be present in the moment. But I thought I couldn't enjoy the journey or the moment because I was behind. And I have to hurry up and get caught up. And I have to hurry up and get caught up. And I'm behind because I didn't have the things that I was expecting that God was going to give me. And so last night I just said, Jesus, I exchange performance for your joy to go into the marrow of my bones. And I have no doubt my desire, my greatest passion is to be in government. And Andrew just gave me another great word, but I just said, Lord, I'm trusting that you're going to get me where you want to get me when you want to get me there. But that sermon literally was like a lock. And you hit the first number and you hear it click. So that was you hit the first number of the click. And then Narelle saying, enjoying the journey, be the Mary, not the Martha. God's going to love you, Jill. If you never do one more thing for him, he will never love you more. But there was a performance in me saying, I need to work for God. And that was the second click on the lock and the tumbler. The third one was Andrew's word that you haven't missed a thing. That was the fourth click. And then that sermon that God's going to get me where he wants to get me when he wants to get me there popped open the lock. And it connected the dots from 4 years ago. And last night I just said, I'm breaking off performance and I'm receiving his joy. And he's going to get me where he wants to get me when he wants to get me there.
Amen. Thank you, Jill. Wonderful. So Jill actually reached out to us ahead of time because she wanted to share that journey, and we, you know, we love to hear that. And I really believe that there's a lot of wisdom in there, and I know other people are going through similar things. And so I keep hearing an echo in my head. So, you know, just the Lord will give you the answers if you ask him. And if you can't hear him, he'll find a way to show you through multiple ways. And so we're going to continue on with testimonies, and this is the point where y'all need to be listen really close. We have a hook over there, and if the testimony gets too long, we start pulling the hook. and then we've got wet sponges for when the hook is ignored. So, and the reason is because, you know, there's something about when you get a microphone in your hand, you forget. And you just want to keep talking of the goodness of God. But we want to allow everybody to have a time to share what God did to them this weekend on the mountain. So don't be offended if I start to take the mic away from you or give you the old eyeball. I'm kidding. So who would like to testify? Come on up, sweet.
Hi, I just want to say thank you so much to everybody here that's
welcome. I don't think so.
It's on.
Okay.
It's on.
No, it's not on. Now it's on.
Anyway, I didn't know what I was getting myself into when I came here, like I said, but God did. And so I was thinking that, you know, I was going to get all my healing just on the way out the last day, the big whammy, which I still am. I'm still claiming a lot of that. But the very first night I was here, the Lord knew what I was praying into when I came here. And I sat over here in the front row, which I'm not a front row gal, but, you know, my little friends, they knew, they put me up here. But there was a chair in between me and the other lady that I came with. And during praise, I had my eyes closed, and I felt somebody sitting next to me, which I knew there wasn't, but I kind of figured I knew who it was. And then I had asked for healing in my teeth because my dentist said that I needed $10,000 worth of dental work. And the Holy Spirit said, no, you don't. But I was still having some struggles with that, so I asked the Lord to complete that in me. And when I was sitting there feeling this shoulder up against mine, which I knew was Jesus because he's done that to me before, I felt all this work going on over here. And it was something I knew. And so I have claimed that healing also. When Holly had called out the right ear, I have not had hearing in this ear for, I don't know, maybe 15 years or so. A lot of damage in there, so I always sleep on my left side when I want to shut things out. Well, I claimed that the night that she gave it, and last night I was laying on my left ear so I wouldn't hear my wonderful buddies that came with me. And I heard everything they said, and I'm like, praise Jesus. Now I'll hear my husband snore, though, so I don't know about that. But anyway, I'm thankful for that. And also, I've always had issues with digestive and everything else, but the Lord totally released me from that. And the other thing that I got that I didn't know I needed, so sometimes we come here and we didn't know we needed this, but we got it anyway, and that was a hug from somebody that the Lord showed me. He gave me back all the hugs that Satan took away from me all my life because I never had that. So they all came back in one big hug. So praise Jesus. I got my hug. I'm getting my stuff back.
Praise the Lord.
Thank you.
Thank you, Karen. Who did it? Who did it? Who else? Come on.
All right, guys. So this has to do...
No. It's on. It's on. The batteries are low.
Oh. All right. So this testimony is about the Great Exchange. All right. This testimony is about the Great Exchange. I had some family come visit me about 2 months ago here in Colorado, and a pretty sad situation. My sister, her husband, and the 7 children, and there's just a lot of toxicity that's going on in that marriage. So my sister and my niece came out to visit me, and she's the oldest niece, so, you know, she's been through it all. She's seen it all, right? So through this, there were many miracles that happened on this trip, but as I'm taking them back to the airport, my niece tells me that she was attending a Christian school, and the teacher had taught them that God doesn't speak to children. He's going to speak through your elders or he's going to speak through the Word of God. And so I instantly thought to myself, well, that's a lie from the pit of hell if I ever heard one. And immediately came into my mind Holly's teaching about the Great Exchange. I'm like, wait, I can set her free. I know how to do this, you know. So as we're driving back, I said, the thing is that you've believed a lie, and this is why your ears are closed, why you're not able to hear, but we're going to fix that right now. So we stated what the lie was. We repented of believing the lie, and then we came into agreement with what God's word says about it, that she can hear from God. And so we went through this whole prayer. She got set free, and I said, I'm going to call you in a few weeks, and I want to hear about all the testimonies about how God is speaking to you. So I talked to her about 2 weeks ago, and she was just going on and on and on about how God's using her in her school and giving words of knowledge to people and reaching out to her friends. And God's been using her mightily since she got back from Colorado, so that's because of the teaching of the Great Exchange. So,
wonderful. Thank you so much.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hey, come on up, sweetie. While she's coming up, how about the flags? Thank you, Laura, for the King's Closet. We bless you, and we bless the King's Closet, and we just thank you so much for the garments of praise and everything you guys have done and everything you bring with. And I don't just mean the goods in the natural.
Okay, so shortly after I got here, I had a vision, and I've shared it with a few, but really the vision is what happened to me over this weekend, and I'm sharing it with you now in hopes that you can take something from it for yourself, okay? So I'm standing out on a balcony, and I'm looking at a picture like this, just beautiful, and I realize that what I'm looking at is heaven, and that the Lord Jesus is standing right outside my balcony. And the only thing between me and him is this fence. And he's beckoning me to come. And I said, well, how am I going to get to you? You know, am I going to crawl over this? Or, you know, first I need to make the decision that I'm coming. And I realized then that I could just walk through the fence. And when I did that, I immediately noticed the purple royal gown that I was wearing, that was hanging for me here the other night when Laura said we could put it on. And but this was before that. And then the Lord took my hand like a king would take a queen and just twirled me around. And I bowed as a queen would before her king. And then I fell into his arms. And a few things that he was speaking to me about this is that through life circumstances, I had put myself back on the balcony. I was in a place with him, in a heavenly place, but I felt it would be safer to go back to the balcony. And also that there's no limitations. We can walk through anything with him.
Amen.
Okay. And we're royalty. And he's going to teach us what it looks like and what it feels like to be a queen. So this weekend for me was identity and coming into and breaking off the things that held me back.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, Deborah. Thank you. Praise Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Okay, Tom, come on.
Praise God. Shema. About 20 years ago, the Lord gave me this vision, and it's, you're going to get a super abbreviated version. I shared it with somebody yesterday, but there was a tower while I was on a battlefield, and the door opened at the base of the tower, and the Lord beckoned me to come in. And I went in. We took off all of my armor. He opened another door, and there's this vast garden with a stream coming in, much bigger than what the tower was on the outside. We had a long talk. I was totally restored and refreshed, and I was feeling like I could go back out to the battle, and I said, okay, I better get back to the battle, and he agreed. And so I walk up, and I put my armor back on, and it was all shiny and beautiful. But then I turned to go out the door, and he says, where are you going? Shema. And I said, I'm going back out to the battle. And he says, no. Follow me. And we go up these steps. And I get to this high window on the rampart. And I look out the window, and the battle's about a mile and a half away. And he says, you fight from here. And I said, Lord, it's so far away. How can I fight from here? And he says, oh, that's no problem. And all of a sudden, this tower shifts to the center of the battlefield. And he says, you fight from here. And don't ever leave.
That's good. That's it.
So the Lord says, so this verse, when Jesus says to abide in me always, is like became my main focus. And it was hard to think that I could dwell in the kingdom of heaven 24/7, because before I was going to church or going to a conference, and then by the day after, it was all over. And I couldn't accept that anymore. And you heard the thing about falling into his love the other night. And so it's been 20 years until now of my whole focus being on abiding in his love, in his rest. And so when you were the testimony of Edgar, you were preaching, and he says, and you were talking about Edgar and his zeal, about a thick brick wall and a large mama bear trying to get to her cubs and clawing away. I was trying to do that before I had the tower vision, and the Lord said, no, you're doing it through your flesh. But now he says that while you're in my tower, you're under my wings and in my rest,
that's right,
from there you can be the mama bear going through a brick wall. Shabba! And that's where this drive, this zeal comes from, and it can't be from the flesh. And so when Jill was, you were having your testimony, it was just a beautiful reflection. And just a little quick note, for those that have gotten visions and think that there's been a wrong interpretation. I was in school. I saw a mountain poster on the wall. 3.5 years into electrical engineering, I switched my degree that very day, because if there was a profession that had something to do with mountains, I wanted to be in it. And I said, okay, that picture says I'm supposed to go into geology. And lately I thought, oh, I messed up. And then during the dream interpretation, it was said, that vision was the kingdom of heaven. And what I learned was that I didn't miss it.
Amen.
That the Lord had put me on the path, and he let me take the interpretation, which seemed to be an error at the time, but it was for a season. Shibba!
That's good.
And the interpretation with the time changes according to his will and his timing. So as you move through your life, and you see something that seemed to be misdirected or lost, it may just be the season that that interpretation applies, and then the interpretation changes. And so the Lord will just bless you. I feel like there are people out here that have felt a little bit lost, but believe me, the Lord has you right where he needs you to be, right where you are right now, and that his he is so faithful to bring you exactly where you need to be.
That's right.
In his timing.
That's good. Thank you. Thank you, brother. Very powerful. That's spot on. Anybody else want to testify?
I just want to say that this, I thank Andrew and Holly for inviting us here and what a change it's made. And I thank God, you know, I've been called by the Lord for a long time. And my husband, my prior husband, passed away. He was a minister and we did things together in the ministry. And the Lord, but for years I haven't. But the Lord's drawing me back to things that, but it's going to be better.
Yes.
It's going to be better. And I thank God so much for each one of you, for Lori, for Holly, for everybody that is here. You guys are great. And God is working so mighty in this ministry. And if we can just bring a little piece of it back, how wonderful. Thank
Amen.
You.
Amen. Thank you. Take it all. Take it all. Take it all. Do you have your hand up? Come on up.
It shall be brief. He shall do that right. Oh, my goodness. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you for all you beauties, you wonderfuls. Really. Holly, you had a word the other day, and you said there was hidden shame, and I was going, oh, goodness, she saw it. I was sure that was well hidden. So after that, I felt obliged to go to her and confess my sin. And she said to me, you know, the amazing thing was right before I came here, I love children. My life has been in children and was called to teach them to hear my voice because he's always speaking to them. And so I live with children and have my own and love them. And right before coming here, I had said, God, I just repent for being a failure of a mother. And that was really heartbreaking, but I thought, I might as well get over this. I was a failure. A failure. And here we teach parenting at the prison. you know, I was thinking, that's even odd. What are we doing teaching parenting? And I thought, okay, God, so maybe I just tell all the ladies, well, I failed too. I failed miserably, and that's why I'm here. And that's probably why you're here too at this class. But anyway, Holly led me just to realize, what are you hearing, I guess? What are you? And I just was like, it's all my fault. And that's what it seemed like. Anyway, through your precious ministry, and just a quickness, she got to a core of a lie that I'd known and walked with, and always used the word to override it, but it was still there. And so, I am a good mama.
Yes, you are.
And I carry. And I'm sorry. Old kid, I wasn't quite able to say that. But you know.
He said it. It is.
Well, so I know it put this mama heart in me for everybody. It's like this big old mama heart. Ooh. You know, and there's nothing like the heart of the mama.
Amen.
And it's been so big in me, but thank you, because I'm free. I'm free to
Amen.
Know that.
Amen. Hallelujah. Praise
so if,
you, Jesus.
If any of you need a mama, a come to mama.
Hey! Mama! Woo! Woo!
So I just wanted to say, along with the shame thing, that was something I didn't even know I had. So before this, I held myself back because I never felt like I was good with words. I felt like I stumbled over my words. I couldn't think of words most of the time. And so I just held myself back, and I didn't talk to people. And I was shameful of it, and I didn't know it until she said that word and the Lord showed it to me. So he set me free of that. I got
hallelujah!
More.
Hallelujah!
And there's going to be new things to come. Because through the sun says free, it's free indeed.
Awesome.
And one more thing.
Well, look at that!
Okay, so before Colorado, very few of you know this, I was under an attack. My back, I was in bed. I couldn't get out of bed. I became unconscious, went into the ER. It was awful because of this trip, because I was going to get free.
Yeah.
But God had better things.
Yes.
Because starting on Tuesday, and it didn't end until Thursday, but my back is whole.
Praise Jesus, the healer, the deliverer. We love you, Jesus. That's so great, Rachie. Oh, it's so great. Praise Jesus. She does. Okay.
I made her come up here because... Anyway, I just thank God for my sister.
Yes.
And her bringing me here. And I wasn't able... We usually have a retreat every year, our church, and... I was so sick, I couldn't go to the last one. But thank God he's healed me, and I'm just grateful for everything you guys said. It just ministered to my soul. And just the healing of what we went through in our family. And anyway, we were talking this morning because I was telling Loretta, did you know Mom said that I was in an accident? And she goes, she told me. I was an accident, and she told me you were planned, and I'm like, wow. So we've had all these different hurts, and that the enemy, it was all the enemy, you know.
Conspiracy from the enemy.
Yes, to make us feel unwanted and unloved. And when we were doing worship and that Hebrew song came on, I was just worshiping. Oh, I felt like we were in heaven, and I... could see my mom and dad smiling, just looking down and just so happy.
And praise Jesus.
So, God is good.
I'm just thankful for the presence of the Lord. Our church has, it didn't close, but there was almost like a fear to say we were open.
Yeah.
But the presence of the Lord, God is so good. And to come here was such a gift for us. And to be with all of you, I just can't even express it. Thank you all.
Amen. Thank you so much. We love you guys. I love you guys.
I was almost scared to come up here because when Lori sent out that email about preparing for this week and, you know, writing your stuff down, I felt like the Lord was like, man, she's never going to stop putting a draw on things that she has a laundry list. And so I've also got to pick which ones I'm going to testify to, or she's going to pull the thing up from me. So really quick, the first one was I came here with a spirit of despair. I don't know that unless somebody was real close to me, I can think of a couple people, they would have known it or seen it, but it was pure despair. And that first night when Holly was prophesying and was talking straight to the person who needed hope and that person who God had seen and had seen the faithfulness, and not that I needed to be puffed up in it, but to know that he seen me, that he saw the despair, that he saw the journey, and that he saw the struggles that I was in, and how night and day, even in my sleep, I have his word going in my head, and I was trying and speaking and confessing and rebuking and doing everything I know to do. It hit a place in my spirit that needed to be healed to reconfirm what I knew, that he was with me and that he was seeing and that this wasn't the end and that this was just the beginning of what he was going to do this week. And I felt it. I heard it. He was like, this is the start, baby girl. This is the start. I'm like, okay, Lord, I'm okay. I'm still drawn. I'm writing stuff down, but I need this and this and this and this and this, and I'm not leaving without it. And then the dream thing was just humongous. And for the men, you know, you weren't in here, but the dreams and having people, I thought I knew what it was, and I had a little piece of it, but I was way off base. But to have the spirits removed from me when I did my dream interpretation, the witchcraft, and just, again, I'm so glad I have a couple people that can confirm, I've done the work. I mean, 4 years, I go sometimes 2, 3, 4 hours a week with a Holy Spirit gifted person to help walk me out of this, and I've just felt like, Lord, I've done the work. I've done the work. And again, I can be works thing, especially before the sickness. Type A, we're going to get everything done. We're going to take care of everybody. And I've been on my butt more than I would like. But it was so freeing to have so many confirmations of witchcraft taken off of me and the satanic stuff and the abuse. And the best word I got, there was lots of good words, so don't be offended, but was when somebody told me that they literally seen the cloak of shame, the black cloak of shame being taken off of me. And it's not just shame from abuse. I just have to say this again for somebody that maybe wasn't in the room. It was the shame of being sick. It was the shame of, I can't get well. I can't get my healing. I don't have enough faith. I can't even do this right, let alone everything else I've done wrong. Now I can't get this. And she's seen God putting on me a robe, a beautiful robe of royalty, which is purple. And that also tied into the whole thing with the Duke and my last name being Prince, and I won't go into all of it, but it was so profound. And then the last one I will share, I could share 20 more, but my dad died when I was 6, and every stepdad or whatever we want to call him along the way was no father. And Pastor Andrew, just like last year, came to me, speaking words that only God could have known that I needed to hear, and told me that any dad would be proud to have a daughter like me.
Amen. 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 Hallelujah.
And he spoke details, though, that the Lord knew that only my soul needed to receive of who I am, who I'm going to be prophetically, where I am. And then the last thing that I've been drawn from God was just with my husband and the prophetic things that he said over my husband only the Lord could have known and downloaded into somebody. So I just thank you for that. And I want to piggyback with Caroline. The love that I get here, oh my God, it is like addictive. And it's what I've missed my whole life is the right kind of love. Mm. So your hugs and your touches and your affirmations and your confirmations, all of it, I've loved it. And then I've traded my posture of shame. I shared this with one more person. A lot of the body work I've done, it almost feels like through the abuse, my body has been distorted in so many ways. And I've always been tucked in the tailbone. And no matter how many chiropractors I'm in, what do? It's like this posture shame, and I can't stand straight, and I can't hold myself up. And I felt like this posture of shame has been adjusted where I can
Amen.
Stand straight.
Amen. Hallelujah. Hey. Bless you. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. You know, there are so many powerhouses in here. They're like secret hidden agents. And hello, Pastor Andrew, we love you. We thank you for the work of the Lord. That man is a true shepherd. He is a pastor. He is so accurate. He loves. He's like a secret agent. Zzz, goes in. And all of a sudden he's there and he's praying for you and he's just prophesying the word of God and destiny and calling out the lies and people's lives are changed. We love Pastor Andrew and his wife Holly. Hallelujah. Thank you. We honor you. We honor you. We honor you. Yeah.
We know when we come here, we pray that every need, every desire, everything God wants to do will be done fully for every person. We know that's not humanly possible. So it's awesome to hear all these stories of, you know, somebody was on the porch and someone ministered to them and it was God. Somebody, you know, needed a dad and a real dad steps up. I mean, we've asked God to do that. And we're so thankful. We are a team. We are a team.
Team.
And we're so, so thankful to God.
Team God. You're welcome.
Now, this isn't a testimony. This is really a thank you. We had two men's meeting in two groups. And I feel like the first time that there's a collection of modern day knights here.
Mm.
And that this is a beginning point and that we're going to stay connected. There's an enormous amount of gifting in this group. And the Lord's got a tremendous plan. And none of this would have been possible without you two inviting that in. Okay? And men need to step up. And we're going to do it.
Amen.
So, thank you for that opportunity.
Amen. Anybody else? Yes, come on up, sir. Andrew's dad. We're so glad he came. We love him. We love his wife.
I have two things to be happy about. One is to know the Lord.
Amen.
And to be the father of Andrew.
Oh, praise Jesus.
But the Lord showed me something this week about the Holy Spirit. And I had an experience some years ago that I've talked about many times. But God told me that there was something that I missed in that experience, and I'll explain it to you. They've been talking about the Holy Spirit, and there was a deal where I got called to the hospital, and there was a man who was really sick. I didn't know how sick, and I asked his wife who was there, and she said he's dying. In fact, they said there's no brain waves. He's really gone, but they're keeping his body alive. So I asked the Holy Spirit what to do. And he said, you pray, and you pray the Spirit back in his body, and you claim the blood of Christ, and all of those things I knew to do. And he said, that's what I want you to do. So I went in where he was, and there was doctors running around, nurses, and right in the middle of it, I'm just praying all this stuff. And I prayed everything I knew how to pray for him, and he was the same way he was when I left as when he came. No sign of life whatsoever. I left. I came back the next morning, and I asked God what I was supposed to do. I was getting ready to pray for him some more, and God said, don't do that. He said, sing over him. Yeah, and I thought that was different. And so there's all these nurses and doctors around him, no sign of life. I'm singing praise songs over him, top of my voice. I had to. There's a lot of noise in that room. And so I did all of that I was supposed to do, and no sign of life, nothing. I went home. I came back on the third day. Everybody say the third day.
The third day.
He's up having breakfast. And you know, I've enjoyed telling that story because everybody loves it, and it's a true story. But in this conference, God showed me something. I didn't keep on listening to the Holy Spirit. I forgot to tell you one part. When the first night I went there, he had a whole bunch of family there. They were talking about everything imaginable, how sick he was and all that kind of stuff. And I just said, can I have your attention, please? We got to be positive here. We can't talk about negative. It's not how sick he is. It's how great God is.
Yes.
And all that stuff. And I just told him, if you're going to say something negative, just keep your mouth shut. Because I got to go in and pray for this guy. And so anyway, on the third day, he's up having breakfast. And everybody was happy and all that kind of thing. The family was there. And a nurse came in and talked to me. And she said, I was in a room right next to you the first night you prayed. And she said, I was monitoring his brain waves, which there were none. And she said, right in the middle of the prayer, the brain waves came back. That's why he had me praise the Lord the next day.
Amen. Wow, that's good.
But, yeah, one other thing, and I'll tell you what I didn't do, and I just realized it in this conference. I didn't keep listening to the Holy Spirit. That man coming back to life wasn't the most important thing. His family need to be saved. And I should have prayed for them right there on that third day. And God has shown me that miracles are only the beginning of what he wants to do. And we have to listen to him after the miracle, because he's really then going to do what he wants to do.
That's good.
Because he came for his bride.
Wow. Thank you so much. Praise you, Jesus.
His mercies are new every morning. We ought to have a testimony every day. There's the old story. There are things that never change, but every day there's something special. And I was struck by what he said about the third day, because the Bible is full of the third day references. Like on the third day, there was a wedding in Cana. Why do we need to know that it was the third day? I don't know, but I think that we all have a third day when we meet Jesus. That's our resurrection from the dead. Amen. And from then on, it's just the beginning, but we need to keep listening to him. And I just want to say, there are some of you here that I didn't really even get to meet. But I remember a song a number of years back, I Just Want to See Jesus, right? Do you remember that one? I just want to see Jesus. And what the Lord impressed upon me was that Jesus is who's ever in front of us. I see Jesus in you and in you and in everybody. And we need to remember every day that's who we really are.
Amen. Thank you. Praise you, Lord. Okay, anybody else have a testimony? Come on up, Carrie Ann. We love you. We love you.
You know, I love you too, and I don't do this. I am compelled to do this. Our watchman intercessor, Roxana, says often that the veil is thin here, and when you all come and you start praising and worshiping the Lord, I think he removes it a little bit, because I can't walk in here without bursting into tears. Like, Lord, why am I crying? But I think what he wants me to confess this morning is that I walked into the room last night and burst into tears, and again said, why am I crying now? And he said, Spring Canyon has been an idol of your heart since you were a young child, and you need to deal with that. And that floored me. It horrified me, and I didn't know how to deal with that. And at that precise moment in time, you walked up to me and wanted to talk to me about something completely different. And I told her what God had just told me. And thank you for leading me through how to deal with that. And that's freedom.
Yes, it is.
There is a freedom in that, because I hadn't even realized that Spring Canyon was an idol. But God had, when he told me that, he started flooding me with, this is why this happened, this is why this happened, this is why you responded that way. And that's gone.
Yeah.
And
amen.
I wanted to stay gone.
Yeah.
So now comes obedience.
Yeah.
And recognizing it in the future. So I just had to say that. But thank you all for coming. You have been, and there's my husband listening. He knows I don't do this, so he heard my voice and came in. What is my wife doing in the front of the room? That's where I am. So I just want to say you all have been a huge blessing. For 2 years, I told somebody last night, for 2 years I hid from you. I didn't know how to handle this. Last year, God put me right smack in the middle of everything you were doing. And here I am this year. So I'm already praying for next year. I will miss you. Thank you for being here and blessing Spring Canyon and ushering in the presence of God while you're here. And I will be praying for you all year and looking forward every day to your return.
Amen. Thank you. Stay up here, please. So, you know, once you get rid of the idol, the blessings come. And so we're believing for the blessings. Kim, can we pray for Spring Canyon? Could you come in here? Okay. We love you. We just want to love on you. Hallie?
We love Spring Canyon. And we love what you guys do. And we love the way your staff treats us. And it's just, you know, every year it gets easier and better. And just, you know, I mean, the setup and just everything you do is just such a blessing. And so Todd was in here and we asked if we could pray for Spring Canyon. We did. But I feel like what happened with Carrie, sometimes You know, we talk a lot about idols, getting rid of our idols. And what we've discovered is when you see one and you get rid of it, the very thing you were hoping would happen, God's often now free to do. And so we just are believing for all the blessings of the Lord. So, Father,
we bless you.
As we love to say, Jesus, you are the one and only. King of the universe, creator of all things, God of Israel. You are the one and only God, and we will have no other. And Lord, we thank you for Spring Canyon. Thank you for Kim and Carrie Ann. We thank you, sir, that you have created this place as a city on the hill. You have done it. It is your lighthouse. It is a beacon. And we just thank you that you are blessing more than ever before. In times, we see times of trouble in the world, but Father, I see your hand upon this place, and I believe you're going to use this during these times as we progress. This place is going to be the answer for a lot of people. That's what I believe you're saying, Father. And we just bless Spring Canyon. We thank you, Father, and ask you to bless it and bless Kim and Carrie Ann personally for all the work. They've labored faithfully for years. I see just, you know, just they just keep going. They just keep going. They just keep going. They just keep marching, you know, when it's easy and when it's not. And God rewards that kind of faithfulness. And so we thank you, Father, in Jesus' name.
Amen. Sure. We got a few more minutes.
The Lord did several things for me this weekend, but two of them that I want to share is that I had asked before I came here that I could experience the Holy Ghost because I had never felt him. I was like you, or I... Yeah, just all in my head, just like, Lord, please show me, and seeking and seeking and reading, and just never really had an encounter. And during praise and worship, I got to experience Jesus for the first time, other than the day I was saved, which was a miracle, because it wasn't in my head. It was the most beautiful experience. Like, I sing in church every Sunday. I do, and I raise my hands, but I've never felt his presence. Like, I don't know how to describe it other than that. And then the second thing is I've been really drawn to the flags. I've never seen flags before. And my friend encouraged me to go out and fly with the flags.
Amen.
So I did that, and when I came back in, I really felt the Holy Spirit was telling me to help with that red flag. And I got to help usher in the Holy Spirit. Like, it was... That is... It was incredible. And I got to laugh and cry and again experience Jesus in a way that I'd never had, that I got to experience like a separation. I got to, like, I'm trying to explain it, and I know that I'm not doing well, but like I could feel my spirit, but I could still be in my head. It was like so weird, and I was just like crying out to Jesus with my spirit, but my mind is like, what the heck are you doing? And it was incredible. So I'm really glad that I came and that I got to meet you all. So thank you.
Amen. So do you have this? We have a set called the Walk of the Spirit. Did you by chance get that?
No.
Could Kina, can you unpack and get a... I'm saying that with joy. Can you get her the set, please, and bless her with that? We want to bless you with the CD set, okay? Are you waving? Come on up.
I have maybe two or three testimonies, but I want to give... remember the backpack, dropping the backpack? Who said that? The first day? the biggest rock I had in my backpack said the future. And Jesus took it and just whoosh, smashed it on the ground. Praise God. Like, that was my future.
Hey, you're laughing now.
It's in his hands. Yesterday, for the first time, I gave an interpretation of a tongue in the men's group. Mm. Tom broke out, and it just had a different characteristic. And it's like, I've kind of seen this before, and I've always wanted to. I thought, if I don't do it now in front of these men who I know love me, and I was able to do it. And I'm going to try number two right now, because I believe that sister was singing a tongue from God to us. I think it said, some of you are hearing me for the first time, and I love it, and I want to continue the dialogue.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Mark. Amen. Hallelujah. Wahoo! Wahoo! Who would have known what was going on in that men's group? Unleashing the gifts. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. I know.
I'm
going to
say one thing.
Okay. Wes.
Hey, real quick, because I know time's in essence. Thank you both. It's your ministry. It's turned my life around. I met with you yesterday. And I just can't say enough. Well, anyways, I want to thank the men. You know who you are, Jim, for coordinating this men's group. And it did wonders for me. And I'm sure it did wonders for the other men. We as men have to meet separately from the women, because we talk of manly things. And we are warriors for Christ, okay?
Amen.
And that's what we're called to do.
Come on.
Not be in the background, or
that's right.
Don't open our mouths or anything
that's
else.
Right.
We got to step up the plate,
come
especially
on.
The times we're living in right now, like never before. So I personally want to thank every single one of the men in here. I love every single one of you guys, and I mean it from the bottom of my heart. And I want blessings upon every single one of you and your spouses. And I want this year to be the most dynamic year in your all's life that you've ever, ever, ever had. And you're all leaders, gentlemen. You're all leaders, every single
Everyone.
One of them. So I'm just say, Father God, bless every single one of them. Every single one of them in here. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
I just have two words. Men's retreat.
Wow. Woo! Shaka boom. Okay, anybody else? Otherwise, we're shifting. Any last one? Here's the thing. If you have a testimony and you don't share it and you leave the mountain, you know the enemy's going to kick on you. So, you know, I'm setting you up for victory. If that's you, come on up right now. They're all coming up. Come on. Come on. Hallelujah. I love the transformation that God's doing. I love it. Only He can do that. Dave said yes. Say yes. Linda? No, it's off.
There you go. So the Lord, the cork, the screw, he took it out and released me from years of shame, years of unworthiness, and the void. Having lost my father at a very young age, I didn't know that that's what was hurting so much. I didn't even know, because I don't remember my childhood. And so the Lord is restoring that. And he removed that block, that barrier, that cork that was holding him and pushing all of you away. And his love is what I was pushing away. And he has loved on me for years, and I couldn't receive, I didn't know what it was. And it's been unscrewed. So I so look forward to being able to be that channel, that flow. Because that's what was blocking it, was it?
Yeah.
Yeah. And I love the Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
He loves each and every one of you. He showed me his love for you in a dream years ago. And he told me then to share it, and I wasn't able. And I feel like now he showed me what was the block, and so I can be free to be that channel. So I'm so grateful.
We love
Thank you.
You.
Thank you.
We love you so much, Linda, your family.
I am blessed with a short testimony. So about 18 months ago, I was emotionally destitute, and my car broke down. And Mary says, I get to work with Mary. But Mary says, hey, you want to go to church with me tonight? I can either drop you off or I can take you to church with me tonight. I'm like, oh, I want to go to church. So that was my first night. It was Edgar Bailey Ministries then. So 18 months ago, I was emotionally destitute, and you can all know I am full of love now.
Amen, Marnie. We love you. Anybody else? Oh, wait, hold on.
Thank you. So I've been fighting coming up here the entire week. I actually was here for the first retreat and felt like I was supposed to give a testimony, and I didn't. So I just want to share like how much revelation has just been put into me. About how much God loves me and that I'm worthy to be here with all of you. And I just feel like I've gotten so much healing of my identity and who I am. And I have this repeating cycle of who I am that's not true. Amen. It's not true. And it's just so refreshing. And I can breathe and I can talk to all of you. And that's something that I've really struggled with is, you know, when you don't know who you really are, you don't feel like you can open up to people and just be yourself. And I am so blessed to have fellowship with you guys and really feel like just the love from all of you. And it's really healing, and I feel so much more whole, and I cannot wait to go home and, like, spend time with God and you know, just hang out. And
woo!
So thank you. Thank you. Thank all of you. I love seeing people that are whole. I have not seen that, you know, and these strong men. And Andrew, you gave me a hug today. I don't even think I've said more than two words to you, but that was so healing for me. It was so healing for me. And Jim, just to see a strong man of God has done so much for me. So thank you. Thank you, men, because you are important, and that has also been
the message. So praise God. I love all of you. Thank you.
Come to your mama. Oh, I am so proud of her. God has done a wonder. I couldn't do it. God did it. Truly, I did. I failed, okay? God restored her. There was another hand I remember seeing. Oh, there she is.
So first I got to say, you know what? Give and it shall be given back to you. I know this lady is so blessed right now, not just for her daughter, but she's had some other amazing things happen. God is just redeeming and restoring to her because she pours out and she pours out and she pours. You can't outgive God.
No, you can't.
You can't. You just can't. So you just know. So anybody who's waiting for something, give and it shall be given back to you. And with me, basically just what I want to say is they have been such a rock for me. Not just this weekend, but I'm blessed to get to go to their meetings all the time. And I was held in a place where I was supposed to be there. I know I was. It was a training and I was supposed to be there, but it was very dry. And every week I'd go. And the thing I love best is I always get correction. This time she's corrected me a lot, actually. And she's always right on, you know, I know. And I love that because I want to be all that I can be, you know. And even there have been some things this weekend that have been really, really good. But it's just an overall picture of what a blessing they've been to me and how awesome it is to be a partner because you get these wonderful messages that set you free. So I just
thank you so much. Come here. I love you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Any other?
I got a real short one.
Did you already go?
I did.
Are you double dipping?
I just wanted to say, because of the connections here, you guys, I came out to Colorado from Illinois. It was supposed to be a 2-week ordeal, and it just keeps going. And so we have election season coming up, so I was very concerned about how am I going to vote. My license is in Illinois. They've shut everything down in Colorado. I can't get my ID switched over for 3 months, and I really was concerned with election season coming up. So I met these fine ladies yesterday who were were an answer to prayer, who gave me the whole download, like, you don't need your license switched over. Here's the website you need to go to, and, like, really just gave me all the instruction of what I needed. And then another connection with Janet. It's very possible there's destinies that are going to be unfolded and purpose fulfilled because of a connection. So we're going to be spending some time together about the ministry she's involved in. So
I am so excited. That was worth getting up again for. It only gets better. Anybody else going?
I'm going to make this quick, short, so we can all get on the road. I had a vision of the menorah the other night, the festivals. Okay, yes. And it was water. It was on the ground, it was water, and on the shores was fire. And it was just a flash, and I panicked. And I don't panic. I mean, not like that. So I asked Deb, What do I do? You know, and she knows I don't panic, you know. But I needed to know now. So she told me to read Isaiah, and we did. We went through it, and Isaiah 11, and because there's seven. And so the next day was the women's group. And where are you, Isabel? Did she go? Where is she? Okay, Isabel brought up about cancer. I had a surgery, I don't know how many years ago, but it was, you know, just a day surgery in and out of the hospital. The doctor came in and he said, I hope we got it all. And that was the end of it. So I never claimed anything from that. I didn't pursue anything. I didn't want it. So it, thank God, because what was brought up was cancer, and she told me that I had it, and I had a struggle coming up the hill the other night. because I know something's in there, but it's gone.
Amen.
And my rest is healed.
Hallelujah.
And my toothache is gone. So there, my toothache is gone.
Praise Jesus.
So there.
Hallelujah.
No more kicking around. But I do, I need strength. I've been in heaven. I'd rather be there. I have gum on my shoe. You know, in the world, there's gum. I want to, so please, because I'm human, and I'm going to fall. And if something gets rough, I need strength. You know? Thanks.
The joy of the Lord is your strength.
Yes, I know. But if something comes up, it's going to be a challenge. I'm not going to want to fight this, you know? I'd rather be in heaven, like all of you, you know? So I need strength for that.
Do you have anything?
Yeah, I just want to say quickly, for anybody that's feeling like that, none of us have the ability in our own strength to not fall or get up properly. So one thing that years ago I heard a message, it was actually a 6-part series, and we can give it to you if you don't have, you know, can't get it. It's called Grace, Grace, and More Grace. It's Joyce Meyer. And Joyce can teach it better than I can. But there is not a day and probably not a minute of a day that I don't let His grace do through me what I cannot do. And that's how I do everything, because I don't have the ability. Everything. If it's pay a bill, figure out the numbers, whatever it is. And God's grace is free to all, and so we're going to get those for you. We'll get them to you, okay? But it's she can teach it much better than me. Thank you.
Amen.
Isabel just came back from, you know, the thinking room.
Thank you.
Amen. You could do it privately. You could just go back there and tell her real quickly. Amen. Anybody else? Are you waving your hand? Come on up, Isabel. I know. Okay, we got to wind up, so I know people have to leave, so we're going to ask you to make it quick. Amen.
I'm a little bit scared right now. So the thing is that the first day I came in here, like, I feel different because, like, I was looking at myself like the only, well, I notice now that I'm not the only black hair here, brown eyes, but I'm the only person here that speaks Spanish. So that day I feel like a little bit like shy. But next day, when I wake up, God is like, I'm gonna surprise you. I'm gonna surprise you. And then suddenly He did this yesterday. He started using me like, I never expected this, that was going to happen. It was like, because I always thought that I was not worth nothing. People always used to humiliate me, to always make me feel less, nothing. And then when I went back to my chair, God is like, Isabel, you need to understand that you are no different than no one in here. Everyone, for me, it's the same. There is no races. Everyone, for me, is the same.
That's right.
And I just saw Him doing His arms like this, and He hugs all of us like this.
Amen. That's wonderful. Thank you so much.
Amen.
God bless you. We love you. We love you.